Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Optimal Relationships Daily, episode 2147, Love is Not Enough, part 1, by Mark Manson of markmanson.net. Hello, everybody, and thank you so much for joining me once again here on ORD. I'm your host, Greg Audino, and today I'll be starting a longer post from none other than Mark Manson, whose work is well-loved by myself and millions upon millions of others. Today he'll speak about why love itself is not enough, and what is really required in order for relationships to thrive. So let's start the article now and optimize your life. Love is Not Enough, Part 1, by Mark Manson of markmanson.net. In 1967, John Lennon wrote a song called All You Need Is Love. He also beat both of his wives, abandoned one of his children, verbally abused his gay Jewish manager with homophobic and anti-Semitic slurs, and once had a camera crew film him lying naked in his bed for an entire day. 35 years later, Trent Reznor from Nine Inch Nails wrote a song called Love Is Not Enough. Reznor, despite being famous for his shocking stage performances and his grotesque and disturbing videos, got clean from all narcotics and alcohol, married one woman, had two children with her, and then canceled entire albums and tours so that he could stay home and be a good husband and father. One of these two men had a clear and realistic understanding of love. One of them did not. One of these men idealized love as the solution to all of his problems. One of them did not. One of these men was probably a narcissist. One of them was not. In our culture, many of us idealize love. We see it as some lofty cure-all for all of life's problems. Our movies and our stories and our history all celebrate it as life's ultimate goal, the final solution for all of our pain and struggle. And because we idealize love, we overestimate it. As a result, our relationships pay a price. When we believe that all we need is love, then like Lennon, we're more likely to ignore fundamental values such as respect, humility, and commitment towards the people we care about. After all, if love solves everything, then why bother with all the other stuff, all the hard stuff? But if, like Reznor, we believe that love is not enough, then we understand that healthy relationships require more than pure emotion or lofty passions. We understand that there are things more important in our lives and our relationships than simply being in love. And the success of our relationships hinges on these deeper and more important values. Three harsh truths about love. The problem with idealizing love is that it causes us to develop unrealistic expectations about what love actually is and what it can do for us. These unrealistic expectations then sabotage the very relationships we hold dear in the first place. Allow me to illustrate. Number one, love does not equal compatibility. Just because you fall in love with someone doesn't necessarily mean they're a good partner for you to be with over the long term. Love is an emotional process. Compatibility is a logical process. And the two don't bleed into one another very well. It's possible to fall in love with somebody who does not treat us well, who makes us feel worse about ourselves, who doesn't hold the same respect for us as we do for them, or who has such a dysfunctional life themselves that they threaten to bring us down with them. It's possible to fall in love with somebody who has different ambitions or life goals that are contradictory to our own, who holds different philosophical beliefs or worldviews that clash with our own sense of reality. It's possible to fall in love with somebody who sucks for us and our happiness. That may sound paradoxical, but it's true. When I think of all the disastrous relationships I've seen or people have emailed me about, many, or most of them, were entered into on the basis of emotion. They felt that spark, and so they just dove in head first. And then, 6 months later, when she's throwing his stuff out onto the lawn and he's praying to Jesus 12 times a day for her salvation, they look around and wonder, gee, where did it go wrong? The truth is, it went wrong before it even began. When dating and looking for a partner, you must use not only your heart, but your mind. Yes, you want to find someone who makes your heart flutter and your farts smell like cherry popsicles. But you also need to evaluate a person's values, how they treat themselves, how they treat those close to them, their ambitions, and their worldviews in general. Because if you fall in love with someone who is incompatible with you, well, as the ski instructor from South Park once said, you're gonna have a bad time. Number 2, love does not solve your relationship problems. My first girlfriend and I were madly in love with each other. We also lived in different cities, had no money to see each other, had families who hated each other, and went through weekly bouts of meaningless drama and fighting. And every time we fought, we'd come back to each other the next day and make up and remind each other of how crazy we were about one another, and then none of those little things matter because we are, oh my God, so in love, and we'll find a way to work it out and everything will be great, just you wait and see. Our love made us feel like we were overcoming our issues, when on a practical level, absolutely nothing had changed. As you can imagine, none of our problems got resolved. The fights repeated themselves, the arguments got worse. Our inability to ever see each other hung around our necks like an albatross. We were both self-absorbed to the point where we couldn't even communicate that effectively. Hours and hours talking on the phone with nothing actually said. Looking back, there was no hope that it was going to last. Yet we kept it up for 3 years. After all, love conquers all, right? Unsurprisingly, that relationship burst into flames and crashed like the Hindenburg into an oil patch. The breakup was ugly, and the big lesson I took away from it was this. While love may make you feel better about your relationship problems, it doesn't actually solve any of your relationship problems. This is how a toxic relationship works. The roller coaster of emotions is intoxicating, each high feeling even more important and more valid than the one before. But unless there's a stable and practical foundation beneath your feet, that rising tide of emotion will eventually come and wash it all away. To be continued. You just listened to part one of the post titled Love is Not Enough by Mark Manson of markmanson.net, and be sure to stick around for my commentary in just a sec. And thanks so much to Mark for this post, which is off to a great start. What we've heard so far actually reminds me of another piece of advice I've heard from him and like to share myself. And that is that both partners must be on the same page about where they want the relationship to go, and they must both be working towards that. And this isn't always as simple as both partners wanting to stay together, or both wanting to break up or be friends or whatever. It also means supporting shared values and goals. And this is why it's really important to communicate about what you each want in many facets of your life together. If your visions align, that's great. But that's only the first step. What's most important, then, is to make sure that each partner is contributing in this way. If you want weekly dates, fine. Are you each making time for it? Are you taking turns making reservations? Are you budgeting appropriately for it? So there are a lot of small habits that lie beneath shared relationship goals. And if we pay attention to them, we get a better picture of the daily efforts we can and should put in for our relationships to have a true foundation. But that's it for now, everyone. Part one in the books, and I can't wait to see what Mark has in store for us in the continuation of this post tomorrow. So be sure to come back tomorrow to hear that. That's where your optimal life awaits.